Hello and welcome back once again to A Place to Grow. Every weekday, Pastor Stephen R. Hill of Spirit Life Church in Hurst, Texas has a life-changing message that will help you to determine God's destiny for your life. This program will help you to identify and use the gifts that God has given you. God has a wonderful plan for your life. Now here's Pastor Steve.
And we all have a choice to make. How do we deal with the temptations in our lives? Do we ignore things? Do we think about them? Do we reason? Or do we go to the Word of God and say, well, let's see what the Bible says about this. Flee, youthful lust. I guess I need to run. That's a great answer. If that verse had been there for David, then David would have known what he should have done. There were other verses. Samson allowed his passions to destroy his life. This is a story that's played out over and over again in our society. You know, when you talk about David, when you talk about Samson, this could be a novel right from today. In Judges chapter 16, verse 19 to 21, it talks about Samson. It talks about Delilah. She was trying to get Samson to expose what his power was, the secret of his anointing and his power. And he was making up all kinds of stories, lying to her. And finally, he told her the truth. And when he did, she found out she could get some money and be paid off if she betrayed him. Your passions will always betray you, folks. Your lust and your desires never mean you good. Always remember that. And there are effects after the deed that you won't be able to run away from. The Bible says, then she lulled him to sleep on her knees and called for a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. Then Delilah began to torment him and his strength left him. And then she said to the Philistines, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. So he awoke from his sleep and said, I will go out as before at other times. I will shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. You see, this is how it happens, folks. When we engage in disobedience and maybe immorality or something else, God doesn't walk away from us all at once. The Spirit of God is speaking to us to yield ourselves back to God, seek forgiveness, repentance, turn away from this behavior. But if you continue to go in that direction, one day you will not even know when the Spirit of God walks away from you. That's what happened to Samson. He said, I will shake myself free as I've done in other times. It's just a shame that he had other times. It was just a shame that he had other experiences in his life that he should even say that. He was not aware that the Spirit of the Lord had left him. The Bible says, then the Philistines took him, put out his eyes, and brought him down to Gaza. They bound him with bronze fetters, and he became a grinder in prison. Well, God had made him a judge over Israel. Let me say this. The devil has a plan for your life. There are two plans for your life. God's plan and the devil's plan. And depending on what road you take in life will determine what your destiny is. I began by telling you that God has a good plan for you. But if you take your own road, if you detour from what God has for your life, there's a good possibility that you may end up fulfilling the devil's plan for your life. God had called Samson a judge, a deliverer. The devil said, no, he's a grinder in the mill. And because of his passions, I'm going to get him there. He's going to work for me. The devil wants every single one of us on his payroll, folks. And the devil does not pay well. He hates all of his employees, you see. He doesn't love one. He uses them and discards them to hell. That's why we need to follow God's road for our lives. We need to forget about our self-directed detours in life and follow the Lord. The effects of sexual immorality lead to deception and to bondage. Oh, I know you think you're in love, but how can love really be love when you disobey God? Whom do you love more? That person or God? Or yourself or God? Let me tell you, anything or anyone you put before God is not love, it's idolatry. It's not love. It's following your baser desires. 2 Samuel chapter 11 and 5, the Bible says that Bathsheba conceived and sent word to David. She said, I'm pregnant. David thought it was only a one-night stand. Now she's pregnant. How dare her get pregnant? What am I going to do? If she tells Uriah, we're really in big trouble. So he tried to conceal from her husband what he had done. He tried to keep the whole thing a secret, you see. He brought him home from a battle, and he got him intoxicated and said, now go home and be with your wife. But the man was more honorable than that. The other men were on the field, and they weren't home with their wives, so he didn't comfort himself through his wife. He stayed outside the door of his house. And the king called him back and said, why didn't you go in and be with your wife? He said, with all those other men on the battlefield, I'm a man of integrity. How dare me forget my comrades? This man had more integrity than David. Finally, David realized what he needed to do. Now, this is God's anointed king. This is the sweet psalmist of Israel. This was the one who killed Goliath the giant. This was the conclusion that he had. He decided that he would have to commit murder and marry Uriah's wife. Where does that come from? One who wrote so much of the Psalms. One who was anointed king over Israel. One who threw a sling and a rock, killed a giant. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, verses 14 and 15 says, in the morning David wrote a letter to Joab, his general, and he sent it with Uriah. In it he wrote, put Uriah in the front line where the fighting is fierce. Then withdraw from him so he may be struck down and die. Well, of course, that's exactly what happened. The Bible says in verse 26, when Uriah's wife heard that her husband was dead, she mourned for him. After the time of mourning was over, David had her brought to his house, and she became his wife and bore him a son. David thought everything was fine. Now Uriah's out of the way. I'll bring her home. She'll be my wife. We'll make everything legal except for the murder, of course. I can't fix that. Look, you can't have everything. I'm marrying her, making the child legitimate. I'm saving the kingdom from this awful embarrassment. It's an awful, awful embarrassment. I did what I had to do. I didn't like doing it, but I did what I had to do to avoid public scandal in the kingdom. The Bible ends in verse 27 by stating, but the thing David had done displeased the Lord. God was watching. And let me just say today, God is watching us. Whatever you have done and whatever you're doing, God knows all about it already. And there'll be consequences as a result of this. Now, after 9 months, the baby was born. The whole kingdom was happy. David was relieved because he thought he got away with what he had done. But God had another idea. He wanted to talk to David about it. So he sent the prophet Nathan to him. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, beginning with verse 1, it says, "The Lord sent Nathan to David." Skipping down to verse 7, "Then Nathan said to David, 'This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says: I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house.'" Now listen to the next thing the Lord says. "And I gave you his wives." Listen, God deals with us where we live. Whatever your problem is, God deals with you where you live. He says, "I gave you his house and I gave you his wives. I gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if all this had been too little, I would have given you even more. Why did you despise me? Why did you despise my word by doing what is evil in my sight?" The flesh cannot please God. What's more, your carnal desires has no desire to please God. That's why when people are upset or doing something that they shouldn't do, and you say, "Come on, let's just pray." "I don't have a desire to pray. I don't want to pray now. Don't even talk to me about God." Isn't that true? Oh, yes, it is. God says, "Why did you despise me? Why have you put your own carnal flesh before me, David? Look at everything I did for you. What makes you please yourself more than pleasing your God, who has done so much for you?" Just the flesh. It's all it takes. Your flesh believes it's your thing. Do what you want to do. God can't tell you who to sock it to. It really feels that way.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. Here's Pastor Steve with a special invitation for you.
Hi, this is Pastor Steve. Each of us have a prophetic destiny. The Bible says, "The Lord called me before my birth. From within the womb, he called me by my name." Each of us was born to serve a divine purpose. God is the only one qualified to guide your life. He is the only one who knows the future. In Isaiah 46 and 9, it says, "For I alone am God. I am God and there's none like me. Only I can tell you the future before it happens, and everything I plan will come to pass." I want to personally invite you to our worship service this Sunday at 10 a.m. It's one of the ways that I know that you're listening. I would love to shake your hand and pray for you. I am certain that the service will encourage you and prepare you for the coming week. A church that is alive is worth the drive. Come discover how to discover your real purpose.
Spirit Life Church is located in the middle of the Mid-Cities at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst. We offer a safe environment. Get more information at our website, aplacetogrow.org. Now let's get back into today's message.
God went on to say, "You struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword and you took his wife from him. You killed him with the sword of the Ammonites." David, I saw all of this. Now, I want to let you know that God spoke to him as a father speaks to a son. God was not the judge with the hammer in his hand, but God is always a God who disciplines his children. He will not allow you to conceal your sin. He loves you too much for that. You see, if there's unconfessed sin, you will not prosper. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13 says, "He who covers his sins will not prosper, But whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. This is an important verse. You need to write down this verse. Because many people think that if they simply confess their sins, God has forgiven them. That's not the Bible. You must confess and forsake your sins. And then God will have mercy on you. And let me just say this to you. God will expose you if you cannot stop the cycle of sin in your life. It's only a matter of time. If you can't handle it yourself, God says, okay, I'll take care of it. I'll make sure everybody knows about it. That's happened to so many people. God's covered them for months, sometimes years. But because they could not help themselves in that cycle, God says, okay, I'll take care of it. Don't worry. And he pulls the cover off, and then the whole world knows. Your family knows. Your church knows. Other people know the thing that God has been talking to you about, and you've been ignoring him. Now, God outlined the consequences for David's sin in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 10 through 14. Listen to what the Lord says. He says, now, therefore, the sword will never depart from your house. You see, David thought this matter was just between him and Bathsheba. God says, no, it was between you and your family. Remember this, folks. We are connected with other people. Never say it's two consenting adults and no one's going to get hurt. That's deception. God said the sword will never depart from your house because you despised me and took the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your own. I want you to hear what God is saying. God has pain because after he has done this much for this man, he keeps saying, you've done this to me, David. You've done this to me. He said, well, it was two consenting adults. It was just, no, David, you did this against me. You hurt me. Whenever we sin, we hurt God. This is what the Lord says. Out of your own household, I'm going to bring calamity upon you. Before your very eyes, I will take your wives and give them to one who is very close to you, and he will lie with your wives in broad daylight. You did it in secret, but I will do this thing in broad daylight so all Israel can see. Then David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan replied, the Lord has already taken away your sin. You're not going to die. But because by doing this, you have made the enemies of God to laugh, then your son that is born to you today will die. Now, let's talk about this, folks, because David was not an evil man. He simply underestimated the weakness in his flesh. Is that something we need to examine today in our own lives? Do we underestimate how weak we really are? You see, one look, one touch, one thought can bring you into bondage. Being in the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong person will result in the wrong behavior. We need to stop saying, well, that could never happen to me. Perhaps David thought that. And as a result, your family will be affected. Your children will pay a price. Those who love you will weep, and the name of God will be put to shame. Yes, there are consequences by taking the detours that we take in life, and those consequences always bring heartache. Proverbs chapter 11 and 29 says, he who troubles his own house will inherit the wind. What does that mean? It means every evil influence will begin to blow through your home. Now let's follow some of the results of David's sins. One of the first things that happened was we see his son, Amnon. He becomes filled with lust. Folks, don't think that the demons that oppress you are not going to oppress your children. The Bible says that the sins of the fathers follow the children. What does that mean? It simply means that your behavior, what your children watch, they become prone to it themselves. The Bible says, train up a child in the way that they shall go, and then when they're old, they will not depart from it. That's the good part of the scripture if you're thinking in a holy way. But the bad part of the scripture is if you train them up watching your vices, when they get old, they'll repeat your behavior. It's a principle. Amnon was not only filled with lust, he was filled with desire for his own sister. Uh-oh. In 2 Samuel chapter 13, verses 1 and 2, it says, after this, Absalom, the son of David, had a lovely sister whose name was Tamar, and Amnon, the son of David, loved her. Amnon was so distressed over his sister Tamar that he became sick, for she was a virgin, and it was improper for Amnon to do anything to her. The Bible has a way of putting things. Well, he came up with a plan. He said, I'll pretend to be ill. I'll get her in my bedroom and I'll have my way with her. And that's exactly what he did. In 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 10, it says, Tamar took the cakes which she had made for him and brought them to Amnon, her brother, in his bedroom. Now, when she had brought them to him to eat, he took hold of her and said, come lie with me, my sister. But she answered him, no, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing should be done in Israel. Do not this thing, for it is disgraceful. And I, where shall I take my shame? And as for you, you would be as one of the fools in Israel. Now, therefore, please speak to the king, for he will not withhold me from you. So here his sister is saying, if you really love me, wait. That's what women used to say. I don't know what they're saying today. Perhaps I've got him on the hook. If I tell him to wait, he may slip off the hook. I'm not talking about Christian women, and certainly not the women in this church. So that's another church or another time. Now, therefore, please speak to the king, for he will not withhold me from you. However, he would not listen to her, and being stronger than he forced her and lay with her. Now, let me tell you the folly of the heart and passions. Then Amnon, when he was done, hated her exceedingly. The same man who was lovesick, once he had his way with her, he hated her. Every young person should hear this message. You think that intimacy is going to make someone love you more? It's just the opposite. Unless you're married, intimacy is made for husband and his wife. The Bible goes on to say, Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred which he had for her now was greater than the love which he felt for her before. That's the deceitfulness of passions.
Thank you once again for being with us today for A Place to Grow. If you would like to get a copy of today's message, you can download it for free by going to our website, aplacetogrow.org. Navigate to the Media tab and click on Audio. You can also help us keep this radio ministry alive by making a donation on our website as well. That's aplacetogrow.org. Today's message is part two of Detours to Your Destiny. Now, Pastor Steve would like to pray with you.
Lord, we're praying today because you invite us to pray. And you invite us to ask you to show us the future. Lord, we need your direction. We need your help. We need your guidance. You said, call unto me and I will answer you and I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Guide us, direct us, help us. We put our trust in you, and we thank you for divine intervention and guidance in our life today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, we hope you were touched by today's message. We're honored to have you with us and look forward to seeing you at our Spirit-filled worship service every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. At Spirit Life Church, we strive to create a welcoming and safe space for everyone to experience God's presence. Stay connected with us throughout the week by visiting our Spirit Life Church International YouTube channel and Facebook page, where you'll find uplifting messages and lots more. Spirit Life Church is located at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst, Texas. For more details, head to our website at aplacetogrow.org. And don't forget to join us every weekday at 4 p.m. and on Sunday afternoons at 2:30 right here on Bible School Radio, 91.3 KDKR.